Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Sometimes great football players have a delay in getting recognized for their great play in the National Football League. This year, we have a man getting enshrined over 35 years after he last donned a helmet in competition. Cliff Branch is our subject bio today and our salute to the 2022 Hall of Fame enshrinee class. We have more about his story coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are in our journey to try to cover all the great Hall of Famers that are going to go in for this upcoming class of the 2022 Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Canton, Ohio. And our next one on the docket is a great wide receiver, Cliff Branch. Now, Cliff was born on August 1st, 1948 in Houston, Texas. A legendary wide receiver was born there and grew up in the Sunnyside neighborhood of Houston, attending Worthington High School. And Cliff never forgot his roots back in Worthington, as he often was seen at homecoming games and even after retirement from the game of football at the professional level. Though he was a big star and still went back to his roots and supported a team and talked with old friends, and was just one of the guys there, and really was very much appreciated, very much honored there. Now, this gifted athlete long ago was placed in the Worthington High School Hall of Fame, but it took decades for the stud receiver to be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And unfortunately, the world lost Mr. Branch in 2019, so his posthumous enshrinement is bittersweet for 22, but it is sweet all the same because there are so many that enjoyed the great treasures that he brought to the football field and the smiles of fans and just the good person he was from all the things that I've read about him. It's very much an honor that he has got to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's just unfortunate that he was not alive to see himself get that bronze bust made. But hopefully it's going to be a great joy for his family to relish in the regales of the honoring this fallen hero of the football field. Now let's talk about what he did as a youngster. Now his blazing speed was a very important part of his talents. Now after high school graduation, he had a two-year stint at Wharton County Junior College in his home state of Texas. And there he was an All-American, not just in football, but in track as well. And after the JUCO eligibility had expired, Branch departed for Boulder, Colorado, where he hoped to compete in both sports, track and football, at the University of Colorado. That he most certainly did. He stood 5'11" and 170 pounds and may have had a slight build, but believe me, all the opponents of the Buffaloes on the gridiron were struck with nightmares in how to defend him in the nights leading up to playing Colorado. Now, for starters, Branch quickly established himself as one of the most explosive kick returners in the country. The CU's original Speedy, as they called him, Speedy Branch, he returned a combined 4 kicks and punts for touchdowns as a junior and added 4 more as a senior. It had never been done before. And as a matter of fact, only one player since Branch completed that feat. It was about 30 years later that they did it. He had 6 punt returns for touchdowns. It's still a Colorado University record. And remember, he only played for 2 years of eligibility at Colorado. The other 2 years were at the JUCO College in Wharton. Yeah, the man could fly down the track and on the football field, but he also had a great set of hands, an exceptional route running ability, and he played smart. Like I said, he was a nightmare for DBs that opposed him. In an offense in an era where strong running was the dominant, Cliff hauled in 36 balls for 665 yards and 11 touchdowns in those 2 years and boasted an 18.5 yards per catch average, which was a school record at the time. You know, did I mention he also ran for another 354 yards on the ground on 31 rushing attempts during his college career? Remember, this is the early 70s when he was playing ball there. And, you know, they ran the ball. Passing was secondary. That was when you were in long yardage situations. Very seldom did you pass the ball on first down. But the Buffaloes, they used him wisely in 18.5 yards per catch. That's good in any era, especially in the era he played on in the early 1970s. Now, on the track, he may have been even more dominant. Branch set several Colorado University records in track, none bigger than a 10.0 flat second mark in a 100-meter dash at the 1972 NCAA Outdoor Championships. He ran the anchor leg on the Buffaloes 4x400 and mile relay teams, and each of which still hold school records in their respective events. Branch finished his collegiate career with school records in the 60-yard dash, the 300-yard dash, and during his junior and senior seasons, he was the Big 8 Conference indoor champion in the 60-yard dash. And though he did well as an individual, Cliff Branch loved the team aspect that football provided. The CUBuffs.com website posts that Branch once said, quote, "Playing on a team is more gratifying than an individual sport because it's about a group of guys trying to achieve the same goal. You have to be unselfish," unquote. That's an important statement from the man. You know, loved team ball, and he wanted to show that he was unselfish. Now, we're going to get to that here in a second. Fortunately for Cliff, the NFL was his next stop. The Oakland Raiders in the 1972 NFL draft selected Branch as a 98th overall pick, and he had such a great impact that he remained on that Raiders team for the next 13 seasons. He had a real nice career, too, with 501 career receptions for 8,685 yards and 67 touchdowns in an era where they ran the ball. It was a slow start to greatness, though, for Branch, as he had very few catches in his first couple of years. But it was near that end of that second season in Oakland that he started to gain a little bit of rhythm and rapport with Ken Stabler, the young quarterback of the Raiders. And soon, he caught his first touchdown pass from the Snake. In year three, he really had an NFL coming out party when he caught 60 passes for 13 touchdowns and 1,092 yards. Remember, these are 14-game seasons then. And those were career highs of Branch. And he went on to the Pro Bowl while also being named to first-team All-Pro. And that took him to leading the league in yards, touchdowns, and yards per game as a receiver. In a postseason, he had his best game for the AFC Championship. Probably the best of his career. He caught 9 passes for 186 yards and a touchdown. But the Raiders lost the game to the Pittsburgh Steelers 24-13. Cliff went on a 4-year tear right after that, resulted in 4 Pro Bowl appearances and 3 All-Pro selections. The 1976 season resulted in a career-high 1,111 yards to go with 12 scores on 46 catches. And that year, the Raiders won their first Super Bowl championship with Cliff Branch only catching 9 combined passes in 3 games for less than 50 yards each. But the resilient Raiders still found their way to winning the Lombardi. The coverages that rolled to Cliff Branch opened up others like Freddie Biletnikoff, Dave Casper, and the other Oakland receivers. But like we said earlier, Cliff Branch loved team sport. And whatever he could do to help the team win, well, that's what he did. And if he had to play decoy and draw double coverages so that others could get the receptions and get the glory, well, it was a team sport. And the whole thing of team is winning as a team. And that's what the Raiders did in 1976 and did many times during that 13-year career from 1972 through 1985 when Branch retired from the Raiders, who at that point were in Los Angeles. You know, he played most of his career in Oakland, but he moved with the Raiders when they went to Los Angeles to become the LA Raiders. Now, what a great honor that is. And like we said, we're sorry to see that he's not there to accept the award, but you know, what a great honor it is that he is going in there and will be remembered by football fans forever with that bronze bust there in Canton, Ohio. And people can watch films and read all about his great feats that he did in the statistics and what a great man he was. So we hope you enjoyed this little bit of history on a guy that's entering into Hall of Fame this summer 2022, and Cliff Branch of the Oakland Raiders, Colorado Buffaloes, Wharton College, and Worthington High School in Houston. And you can catch more football history each and every day here on Pigskin Dispatch. And until tomorrow, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.